Welcome to AfterBuzz TV's show for Project Runway. We are breaking down episode 5, Team Bhutan versus Team Unity, and it all starts right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Vogue. Strike a pose. Come on, Michelle. Boom, baby. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV's official after show for Project Runway. I'm your host, Dan Babic, and you can find me on the Instagram at Dan Babic and on the tweet at Dan Babic with an underscore. I'm joined by my fellow host, Michelle Uberest.
Hey, guys. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Uberest.
Ooh, I think every day needs to be started by Vogue by Madonna.
I think so, yeah.
I like it. Well, let's break down the episode. Let's get into it. Sorry. What did you think starting off?
I think this is a fun episode. I kind of always like the team episodes because I feel like you have to do this in the real world.
Yes.
And it really tests the designers. But I kind of wish it was more like pairs or three people on a team. So it's only two teams broken up into six. So that's a lot of extra people to work with, a lot of designers. You're not working with like a whole team. You're just working with five other designers. So I thought it was like a lot. And when it comes to judging, then on the runway, there's a winner and a loser. There's like nobody in between. And is the winner that good? No, they're just better than the losers. So
absolutely,
I wish the teams would have been a little smaller. But
I think Natalie said, or one of the designers said, that there was too many cooks in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we were discussing before that you said that you would have preferred them to do six looks instead of four looks.
Yeah, you know, so they have six people on each team, and they only have to, you know, complete four looks. And so in the end, I'm expecting a little more, you know, hey, we have two extra people to garments, so you'd have a little more time to work on the garments since normally they get a day, a look,
yes,
per designer. So I feel like they should have stepped it up a little bit.
Whereas, see, I like that because I know why they do that. Mm-hmm. It's because, you know, if they did six looks, then everyone will just work on their own look. Whereas this way, they fight more. That was one thing I know. I know, you know, we should be celebrating, you know, mm-hmm. working together and all that, but they kind of, both teams work too well together. I wanted a bit more drama. That's why I like the teams, because the reality guru in me is they all fight usually in the team works. Yeah.
I thought it was kind of interesting. I thought it was a little bit refreshing to see the teams actually work well together, the winning team and the losing team, because we do always get the drama, and it's often manufactured, and it's often unnecessary, and it's often understood, and it's like, I've seen it before. So it's kind of nice to see, like, everybody's competing and everybody's doing it wholeheartedly and everybody's trying to work as a team member and still someone loses.
Yeah,
that's how
yeah.
life can be sometimes. So
yeah, totally.
It's not like, you know, usually it's so trite to me. It's like, oh, the people that worked together, they won, and the people that fought, they lost. Well, it's a little different this time. So I kind of like that aspect of it.
And I like the challenge because I like, you know, even though I'm not a Donald, we've just been talking about the election because I'm obsessed with the saying, when they go low, we go
high.
I love the election at the moment. I'm obsessed. And one thing about Mary Kay, because it was the Mary Kay challenge, which I love, is they empower women to be beauty consultants and almost their own boss and entrepreneurs. So we had the head of Mary Kay come in and describe the challenge that each of them, they'd be obviously separated into two teams, and they would have to present a line of four looks
right.
to investors who would have $1,000 each.
Yeah, and that's sort of funny because they're coming out with a new show, a new spin-off Project Runway called Fashion Startup.
Yes.
Which is exactly this, so I feel like they're just trying to market their new show.
Totally, so I like it. And then, you know, obviously all the secret investors mm-hmm. were the judges.
Yeah, gee, big surprise. But I do like the idea that they had to do this because, again, it's a real-life thing. Like, as a designer, you have to sell your ideas. You have to, you know, try to get investors or sell it to your customer or whoever. So it's you know, you can't just solely be an artist unless you have zillions of dollars where you can pay everyone to do this for you.
Totally. And we were even just talking about that before the show because I was saying, I struggle because I'm like that. Look, I'm a bit like just kind of pump me up, make me look good and put me on camera. But now I'm struggling because I'm like, oh my God, I've got to have a business mind. And you know that as well as a designer. It's not enough to just make nice clothes.
Yeah, and I mean, I think most designers have, you know, most people are either logical or creative.
Yes.
I think you can get a handle on both sides, but most people are dominant in one side, and especially artists and people that are willing to, you know, take risk and do things like that are less concerned with the business and sales side of it. So I think it's always difficult. Yeah. But it's something you definitely have to master.
You do. And that's why it's always good to have a business partner. Because that's a bit of mine. Well, even, you know, as we see with the, you know, the owners of AfterBuzz TV, we've got Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro. She's more the face of the brand. And then Kevin's working behind the scenes and he's more business-minded.
And, I mean, when you have a business partner, it's good to find someone that has other skills, you know. So when you come together, you're making a really good team. That's what good teams are made out of, not just a bunch of designers or a bunch of sales reps or whatever. It's everybody has these different, because you just can't do it yourself.
No,
it's really
takes a village.
difficult to be a one-man show.
And one good thing about, I think, what gave everyone the extra motivation this episode is the winning team. Everyone would get $5,000 personally to just help themselves out.
Everyone on the team. I love it when they have prizes. I don't like the immunity thing so much.
No,
I like prizes. So
then we obviously started off with Rick, and he kind of pretty much chose his room, #310, everyone in his room, and then plus Majing as well, which I thought was interesting because it is a, you know, creating a a female line and all about women empowerment.
Yeah.
I would think it's a smarter choice to have women on your team, even though you are about #310.
Yes, but I think sometimes, okay, there's two facets to this. One thing is, sometimes women get too idealistic and they don't even make things they would really wear. They get too creative with it.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, you know, they're thinking strategically about who's good at what. You know, they're saying, well, Majing's really good at design and construction, you know, and Alex has the business mind. And they're trying to compose that team of people with different skills and vision, something that will make a cohesive team. So I don't know whether they just didn't think the females had those things they wanted, or it just didn't work out that way, or the other team picked who they wanted, but...
Yeah, yeah. And at first it was actually, we thought there was going to be a bit of controversy with Ma Xing, because obviously all the rest, they were best friends.
He was going to be the last man out, yeah.
Yeah, but no, it all worked out in the end, and it was interesting. I like, even though I think there was too many tears this episode, as I said, I think it's a bit of a cop-out when we cry to try and get what we want.
Yeah, I agree.
But you know, it was nice to hear a bit of Ma Xing's backstory, because he's half, his dad's half African, half Chinese. So he was bullied a lot, because it's like, you know, growing up.
Yeah, but he had the right frame of mind, I think. He's like, well, it builds character, and I just don't, you know, that's who I am, and whatever, you know, that's how we should all feel, you know. There's always going to be bullies, so instead of, you know, paying the bullies the lip service, just, you know, own it. Just, like, this is who I am, this is what I am, and I'm proud of that, and, you know, why should we... You know, I feel like when you give them, the bullies, the attention, then you're just validating that. So why? He just kind of sweeps it off and says...
So look at me now, I'm on TV, bitches.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, I think that's the right attitude to have.
It is, and I think especially with creative people, is because creative people go against the norm. Mm. And they have, you know, most creative people have a hard time growing up in high school because they're not like everybody else. And that was, you know, Jen was picked last and she kind of laughed it off. And then, and then Tim said, that was me every single day in high school. Yeah. So I think it's also cool for, you know, young people watching who are designers and don't fit the norms of their society, that, look, it doesn't matter, and high school doesn't last forever.
Yes. It seems like it does at the time.
I know. I was like, am I going to ever get out of this? I didn't move to LA. But what was interesting was, you know, the two different teams and how Team Bhutan, which was, they were Team Button at the start.
And then House of Bhutan.
House of Bhutan changed. Like, you know, they obviously changed and all of that. But, they got all the money. Like, I'm just looking at the figures now. $800 from Zach, $600 from Heidi, $800 from Nina. What did you think about that?
We're talking about... Yeah, I mean, I
with
think...
With investing, yeah.
It was funny, because when they present it, definitely Alex seems like he has more experience.
Yes.
And he's a little more professional about it. But maybe that was detrimental, because in this competition, they want kind of new and exciting. And I think that's what Team Bhutan kind of brought, and they were...
I think it's a House of Bhutan.
Can we just talk about these names for 1 second? They're just both ridiculous.
See, I think, you know, I like... I think House of Bhutan's funny.
It's funny, but it started with Team Button Bag or whatever. Yeah, yeah. And then Unity, it's just like, come on, just put like 2 seconds more.
It's a bit too you know, Unity and all of that. Yeah, but yeah. Actually,
you get more creative.
Totally. Know? But Alex, I actually think that Alex, what was fashion startup going to be the next, you know, Project Runway spin-off? I think he would be great as like a mentor. So I hope for him because, you know, he's really, that's where I think his strength lies. I'd love for him, you know, if this, well, we were saying conspiracy theory wise, he might be saved next episode by Tim's save.
Oh, I think he will. Yeah.
Whereas I hope he's not. And I hope his next opportunity with Tim is through fashion startup.
Okay. Okay. Mm. Yeah. I'm both.
Both. But did you think the money was distributed? I obviously think, you know, Dexter's pitch wasn't as strong, but...
But I think Dexter's energy was different. And that team seemed excited about what they were doing, whereas I feel like Alex's team kind of approached it a little bit mechanically. Like, this is what you would do when you pitch to investors, and, you know, he went through all of the, you know, check this box off, check this box. He was too serious. And so it's like, how, as an investor, how hard is it for you to get excited about something they don't act excited about?
Totally, yeah, because they were just saying they were looking, you know, a bit more of a theory type look. And even though, and I was really impressed with Dexter because that's not his realm. And he says people don't, because of the way he looks, don't take him so seriously in the business world. But because their ideas were so fresh and so exciting, you know, for a tech it was really interesting.
Well, I feel like he was well-spoken, too. Yeah, yeah. He wasn't so, you know, maybe as monotonous as Alex, but I feel like he was expressing, like, this is our customer, this is, you know, he was still checking off the boxes, but maybe not so much in, like, a sophisticated way, but he was definitely getting the job done, and I feel like they also had something more exciting to present. So they had color, they had something more exciting, whereas Team Unity, the Georges were like, well, it's a little boring. So as an investor, you don't want to put money into something that's going to go out there and compete with 12,000 other companies. You want something different. So totally. I think it was totally warranted.
And I just wanted to ask you this question, because I immediately, in my head, I thought I would give 800 to House of Bhutan and 200 to Unity. It was interesting because that's what Nina and Zach did. Mm-hmm. What would you have given if you were in that boat?
Close. Maybe I would have done like a 70-30 split.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Because I do lean towards that more serious look, personally. Yeah. And the metallic and stuff like that. So I probably would have been a little more interested in it.
Yeah.
But I would have been more excited to get behind the personalities of the Button Bag team.
And just quickly, I understand that you're having lots of sales going online at the moment. That got me thinking. Can you just tell us quickly about what's your sales online and where everyone can buy the goods of Michelle Uberest?
Okay, yeah. So my website is michelleuberest.com, and I have tons of stuff up there. That's kind of like what, you know, I do made to order, and I do some small production there. Right now, though, online on Instagram and Facebook, I'm doing like a sample sale.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
So instead of having just like a trunk show in an actual store, I feel like it's cooler. So then people all around the world can, you know, participate in your sample sale. So I'm just posting looks all through Monday. So if you want to buy anything on sale or one of a kind, damages, like all kinds of things, I need to make room for new things.
Do you know what? You actually totally changed my complete outlook on buying from emerging designers, because I always said to people, just for your basics and all of that, go to your Zara's, your H&M's and all of that. But then you said to me, no, you need to support for just a little bit more. You can support independent designers who are emerging, and you can get unique pieces.
Yeah.
And since I've done that, if you just do your research and look through Instagram for people like yourself, it is so much smarter.
I agree. And I mean, it's not just because I am one. I've started buying from, you know, anything like candles, treats, like anything from just smaller artists, because their small businesses are where, you know, they're supporting they're hiring people, they're supporting their family, they're making things that are interesting.
One of a kind.
Yeah, and so when you buy from those big companies, you're basically buying something that's probably made in China, or it's made in a huge facility, you know, not necessarily a sweatshop.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's the care, the detail is not there, and you're just kind of giving your money to big business.
Absolutely.
So if you're against big business, then, you know, go for small business. And honestly, a lot of times the stuff's not that much more expensive.
No. I from what I've noticed, it's usually around $20 more expensive to buy from, emerging
device. It depends
on
who and what it's for. I mean, there's all kinds of different people out there, and they, you know, you're supporting an artist that's putting their heart and soul in everything. They're spending hours and hours. It's like, I make my own patterns. I, you know, cut, I sew a lot of my own things. I'm starting to do small production now because I can't do all of it myself. But, you know, these artists, you know, if you're making, you know, candy or something, they're coming up with the recipes. They're testing it out. They're spending money on tools and the cooking supplies and the stuff and testing it out. And so when you buy a box of chocolates, you know, on Etsy from some independent seller, you're getting something way more unique. First of all, for gifts, it's great.
Yeah.
And you're also investing in someone's, like, passion.
And future, yeah.
Yeah. Instead of just, oh, this thing was mass produced and, you know, it's just... Some of them, you know, like, I have a small operation. I, you know, get sewers and cutters sometimes and stuff like that. And some of these people do too, and they're working out of their garage and they're hiring a couple of employees or something. But I think it's just, it's the attention's still there. You can still control your operations instead of sending it off to China and doing 100,000 units.
Absolutely. And quickly, just before we get into the breakdown of all the looks, in the challenges, I was just so obsessed with Lawrence this episode. Yeah. She's my new favorite. And I love when she said, I just want to make a dope ass look. And when she was saying, I remember the first time I bought my leather jacket. And she was like, God, this was ugly. And she is my new favorite, I have to say.
She has a really cool attitude, yeah.
And to whip out that leather jacket. And that's what's interesting. We're talking about independent designers. That, like, that even Heidi said, her jacket looks like, it's a $2,000 jacket. Like, it looks like something, you know, even I would go as far if she had more time, Balmain or YSL, Sandro would create. And she did that in just, like...
A day.
Half a day, you know, because she's Lawrence. But anyway, let's start breaking it down. I'm ready to see some of the looks. Let's get them up. So I think we're starting with Team Unity. Mm. So this was Alex's look in particular, wasn't it? That he took responsibility for. And I called this the gaffer tape look. It looked like they just gaffer taped her in the dress and just kind of, I don't even know what to think. I just thought it was disgusting. What did you think?
Oh, no, I didn't think it was that bad. What did you rate it?
I rated it a 4 out of 10.
Okay.
I just think it completely lacked, I would even say, innovation. Uh-huh. I think it was trying to be innovative through the metallics, but I found it to not be thinking of something in the workplace, because that's what they were saying their woman was.
Yeah.
And that's what even Zach Posen was saying, is like, okay, if you wanted to create, you know, a woman, like, not in the workforce or, you know, that's working at night and stuff, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, a woman would never wear that during the day. And, you know, it's like...
Or even at night.
Not at all. And Nini Garcev, like, was saying, especially to Team Unity, if someone, like, came during the day to me and Marie Claire wearing that, I'm like, where have you come from? Like, the strip... what are you doing? And that was my big problem with it. So I did give it a 4.
Okay.
What did you do?
I didn't hate it as much as you did.
Yeah.
I definitely liked the metallics. I liked the dark. I liked the seaming that was going on, but you can't really see much of that on the runway.
Yeah.
And I think in the back it was puckering. And yeah, when you use metallics or anything shiny, any tiny little mistake is totally, you know, out there for everyone to see. He's kind of got the same cowl sweeping thing on the top as his last neoprene look from the UV challenge.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it just feels like I wanna like it, but it feels dated. Especially with the styling. It feels like, I don't know, 1990s, like, Hollywood.
It feels like, to me, 2002, trying to create a futuristic look.
Right. I mean, I liked it, the concept of it, but it didn't push it far enough for me. I don't know, I guess I gave it a 5.
Do you know what I actually find interesting, though, and you might know this more as a designer, is because I'm not a designer, and I, you know, I come from styling, and that's my background. I look at everything from an objective point of view, because I don't have that personal connection.
Right.
But I find it interesting when it was going down the runway, Alex said that he felt his team did a slam dunk.
Right.
And do you find that difficult as a designer to separate your work and look at it from an outside perspective?
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at it and said how, because he's obviously very talented as a designer.
Yeah.
I respect his work. I think he's got incredible taste. And I'm like, how does someone like you, who is so fantastic and has got such a great aesthetic, look at your team's work and say that's a slam dunk?
I think it's especially hard, okay, on Project Runway because you get a day.
Okay.
So it's like if I'm in my workroom working and I work on something, I get really excited and I can't wait to see it done. And then, you know, a day isn't enough time for you to process it.
No, no.
And especially on this show, you get so excited and you want to see it on the runway. You want to see it all put together on the model. And it's so fast, the turnover. It's like
totally,
instant
yeah.
gratification. So, but for me, a couple days later, or maybe even sometimes when I see it finished, I'm like, oh no, I don't think that's working. So then you have to reapproach it and say, okay, you need to fix it or you need to scrap it or this is the thing that's not working, the metallic or whatever part of it isn't working, but they don't get time to do that.
Totally, yeah.
And then when when you're on the runway and you're excited and you want to win.
Your team unity. Yeah.
Lights and all this stuff going on. I think you just get so excited. You're not, like, it's very important to step back. And I find that weird with Alex because he's been in the biz so long.
Yeah, and that's why I'm so big on, you know, team don't save Alex, but use him for fashion startup.
Yeah, I'd be interesting to see who his customer is in real life, because maybe that's his customer.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe that's just what he's used to doing and that's been successful and it just doesn't work in a different setting.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, I just love designers. Like, I like all of my designer friends, I'm just like, I'm obsessed with you guys because I don't, you know, create, I just love getting in their minds of design. Like, we were saying... I love the diversity of designers this season. They've all got their own aesthetic. I find sometimes everyone's kind of creating a similar look. There's so many people with their own signature.
I agree. I'm more excited, I think, about this season. There's always different aesthetics, but I feel like they're interesting this season. So, I mean, there's definitely a couple. Like, I like Laurence.
Yeah.
I did like Alex.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like Majing.
Yeah, I'm still haven't worked out who Majing is. I'm still working that out, yeah.
I like Aaron, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rest are like, I mean, show me something.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm at this point, but I still think there's some interesting ideas.
Yeah, I'm the same as you. The only one, I think the two weakest, in my opinion, are Jen and Natalia at the moment.
Maybe Rick.
And Rick, yeah.
And Brick. Too.
Rick and Brick.
Rick and Brick. And they spell them the same without C's. It's so funny.
They do. And then let's move on to the next look. We've got Cornelius was mostly responsible for this one, correct? The bomber jacket and...
The bomber jacket. I guess he did
the
jacket and Rick did the dress.
Dress, yeah. I thought this was the actual one going down the runway that I liked. But once again, as the judge says, it was too busy. Separate pieces, beautiful, but together too busy. But overall, it was the only design I actually liked from their collection.
And what'd you give it?
I gave it a 5.5.
Okay. I don't really care for this jacket. Okay,
yeah.
I think what kills it for me is the print. I just hate this print, and I think it ruined the entire collection. They should have, you know, gone with the metallic, gunmetal, black, whatever, and then added, like, a color or a different print or something. This print is just strange to me.
Yeah.
It's just weird. So, I mean, I like the dress, and I like the kind of subtle little fold in the front, but I think as a real woman, if I put that on, I wouldn't want a big fold on my belly.
Probably not,
so,
no.
It looks cool on the runway, but I don't know. I gave it a 5.2.
Cool. Okay, moving on to the next look. Who do we have? This was
Majing's.
And I said the pants were cute. Mm-hmm. But that's about it.
You don't like the top?
No.
I love the top.
It's funny. Looking at it right now, I like the top.
Okay.
But I didn't like it when I watched the show. But I gave it a 5.5 as well. But I really like the pants. But I was not a fan of the top for whatever reason.
I like the pants too. And I love the top. I gave it like a 7.5.
Ooh, there we go.
Yeah, I just think the top is like, it's cool, but it's more commercial. Like, I would wear this all the time. And I like how subtle, you know, he's got the black and the gunmetal, but the seams are interesting and it's flattering on almost anybody.
Yeah, do you know what's funny? Looking at it right now, I like it more, but I don't know, when I walked down the runway, I was not a fan. But we agree, the pants are cute.
Okay, yeah.
Cool. Moving on, what do we have next? I think we've got Natalia's overall look next. Mm-hmm. Waiting, but that's all right. It's funny. What's your least favorite look in Team Unity's collection?
I was going to ask you that.
Oh, well, you can ask me. My least favorite was Natalia.
I think it was Natalia, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So even though the photo's not up, we may as well start describing it. Oh, there it is. We have the raincoat-like jacket with the silver lapel. We have three-quarter pants and some type of top. I'm not even sure if it's a top because it looks like she just grabbed a bit of satin from the garbage bin and put it on.
Unfortunate.
Yeah. Give me, break it down for me. Woman, what do you think?
So I hate the top. The top doesn't make sense at all. It doesn't work. If it was like maybe a raw leather or something, I could see that on its own, but not with this collection. And it does look like just a tore up piece of fabric and doesn't fit. Okay. So, and then with the jackets, the shirt's very high necked. It doesn't look right.
Yeah.
The jacket with the silver lapels look very cheap to me, and I don't like the proportions of anything on this outfit. The pants looked cool on the runway, but I don't think that proportion works for anybody.
Yeah, and I said, that's why after I saw that come down the runway, I just thought it was a massive mess.
Yeah, I would have sent her home if I was a judge.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I actually agreed with them sending Alex home just because he...
I get it. I mostly agree with that too, but just based on the looks, Natalia's was just bad.
I'm really struggling to find... I think, like Alex said when he auditioned for season 5 and... Tim Gunn said, go back to school and refine yourself.
And he did.
And he did. I think she needs to take a leaf out of his book and do the same thing.
And just get some experience under your belt.
But, you know, you never know. Like, you know, she might surprise us, but at the moment, that's what I believe.
She also had to work with, you know, a bunch of other people. So who knows who's putting in, you know, their opinions. You should do this. You should do that. I don't know.
Yeah, but and the raincoat's cute. But let's move on to House of Bhutan. Starting off with the disaster look of House Bhutan was Jen's slutty hooker dress.
Brick helped her with it.
Brick helped her with
Jenny and Brick working on this.
That's funny because it's weird because as we heard about it, look, Jen kind of took responsibility for it, but then as, you know, they were explaining to judges, we're like, oh, you know, maybe Brick's a bit more responsible for it as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the idea of this. They did make it too short. They shouldn't have chopped it off, but it needed something more subtle detail or something going on. It was just like it ended up being nothing, and then the only thing that tied it into the rest of the collection was the yellow purse.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is kind of like a, you know, what you call a throwaway piece.
Hoochie Mum. Even in, I said, if it's too short for Heidi, you know you're doing something wrong.
Oh, yeah. There's something horribly wrong. So.
Yeah. And once again, you know, for a professional woman, yeah, she's not looking too professional with
you
that.
You know, they could have added some of Erin's, like, appliques or had her, like, look, you know, they had appliques on the rest of the collection, just little pieces here and there, just to, like, kind of elevate it, because I think the silhouette, minus the fact that it's too short, was really good, and it was interesting, but there was, like, nothing there to...
Yeah. And I think, and even the color, I thought it could almost be a bit Kim Ye, a bit Kim vibe, because she wears that.
You know,
I remember Kim did wore a latex
dress
with that same color, it did actually look quite nice because it was more three quarter. But
I think the color's weird, but
there we go.
It's just weird. But if you're very tan, you can pull it off.
But you know, 3.5. I mean, I don't think there's anything to disagree.
Yeah, I think like a 3. Yeah,
3. Yeah. Okay, moving on to our next look. We had the denim pantsuit.
Yeah, by Dexter.
Gotta say, overall, I was actually not impressed with all the looks.
Okay.
And I understand that it was cool because it did have the detailing.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if you buy a pantsuit, you want it to be a bit more of an investment.
Okay, yeah.
And I thought it looked a little bit Nordstrom's Rack.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were blown away by it. I wasn't blown away.
So, but what'd you give it?
I gave it a 5.
Okay. I like the idea that he made it denim because he just took a classic thing and like did this little twist on it. It looks very like polished. I didn't really like the embellishment on the sleeves. I wish it would have been like on the lapel to make it stand out or like something. I don't know. It looked like it was kind of slapped on, but it was like perfectly tailored.
Yeah,
it was smart. But I wish he would have maybe put like a pop of yellow underneath. As a cami or something, anything, because this looked really dark on the runway.
Yeah, I agree.
I give it a 7 just because I like it a lot. But both collections were kind of just basic for me.
Yeah, I just didn't like them. I just overall, I just didn't think that, you know, apart from Lawrence's leather jacket, and the pencil skirt, which we'll see coming up. I just thought there was nothing, like, I just thought it looked all a little bit wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's like there was no like, this is the winner. It's more like, okay, who's the best out of these two?
Yeah, and that's what Erin said. She said, I think she never actually said she loved the collection.
Yeah.
And usually, you know, Erin's, you know, she's very vocal and she says it how it is. And she just said, I think ours is definitely the stronger collection.
Yeah.
So I noticed no one actually...
It is, but there was no slam dunk here.
There was no slam dunk. Okay, well, moving on to another look with House of Bhutan, we've got Erin's
Clearly, yeah.
Yes.
So, I was, okay, I'm always astonished by Aaron's, like, sense of color. And yes, it's very bold, but, like, in the workroom, I'm always like, I hate these colors together. Mm. They are ugly. They are terrible. But somehow, when you see it put together on the runway with the model and the styling, it's, like, amazing. It's really, like, fashion. And I think that's what elevates it, is this weird sense of color that she has.
It is. It's funny. I think she's got, because she... Like, she kind of breaks the rule, the traditional rules.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's successful.
It's full, yeah, and she just gets it.
And it's interesting and different. But, like, this jacket, really, there's nothing crazy about it except the color and the mix of colors. You know, like, you could see this jacket in a lot of places. But, like, what elevates it is just these small things that makes it Aaron.
Yeah.
And that's what would sell it, instead of you're buying the same coat in all over navy or black or something.
And that's what I'm, as well, as immediately, and all the judges said it as well, you know it's Erin's. She's got that signature style. So even if it's, you know, for example, I thought the jacket was overrated. I actually didn't like the embellishments on it. I'm not an embellishment person.
I liked them. Yeah.
I actually would have preferred it without the embellishments and having a more Scandinavian type look with the block, you know, the color blocking. But it, you know, even if I'm not, you know, a huge fan of, you know, one piece of hers, I know it's Erin's.
It's very distinctive.
Yeah. Yes. So I gave her coat a 7. Okay. I was almost wanting to give it a 6.5. I gave it a 7. But I just don't like the embellishments. I think they've got a little bit of an Asian type thing to them.
Okay.
And I think it's such a strong, modern, electric, technical woman, and then the embellishments make it almost give them this Asian type vibe to it.
That's kind of her thing, though. She always kind of does these, like, embellishments on stuff, and I think it kind of elevates it, because if there was nothing there, it would really just be super basic to me. And yes, it's yellow, but I don't know. I think it's more designer. I give it an 8.
It is. I think she's definitely got a strong and expensive look about it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's definitely an expensive look, but I'm just not an embellishment type of person.
I want to see her make something that's not neoprene. I know she did in the UV challenge, but I mean, she uses it a lot.
She does.
Pretty successfully, but I want to see what else she can do.
But I mean, she's definitely killing it. She's definitely the favorite. And moving on, I think we've got Lawrence next. I think she's the last look of the House of Bhutan. My personal favorite. What did you think?
I like this one a lot. I don't like the jacket as much as you do, because I've seen it out there a lot.
Yeah,
you said, like, Balmain did it, and then everybody knocked it off, and you can get one for, like, $30.
Yeah.
But it's expertly executed, and it's really sharp, and I love the addition of the yellow pencil skirt. Basic, yes, but it works with their collection. So if you went in just to shop the collection as a woman, you could buy everything and mix and match all of these pieces in the collection
together.
Every single thing could be worn with any other thing, which I think made it more successful too.
Yeah, and I also, even just from a makeup perspective with Mary Kay, I love the red lip with it.
Oh, yes.
I think, you know, when you've got that bright, vibrant yellow and then you've got the leather jacket, it's like...
You need a counteract.
Like, you need a red lip. I was like, as soon as I saw that coming, I'm like, she needs a red lip. Mm. Yeah. And the reason, as you said, you know, the jacket has been seen before, but I am just amazed by her craftsmanship.
Absolutely.
So for me, I was happy that Dexter won, but I thought she was the standout as far as, creating looks within the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, you know, when it came to the winners and losers, I actually agreed with the judges. A lot of times I don't.
I'm the same, yeah.
And so... When you have a team challenge, you're kind of like, well, who has responsibility
here? Yeah.
And so some people, obviously, most of these people are going to be, you know, type A personalities, but who really steps up to be the leaders? And so it was
Dexter and Alex.
Yeah, and Dexter. So,
that's where I like it. It gets a bit celebrity, it gets a bit apprentice style. Where
right.
I love it. Like, it's like, now let's break it down. Who did what?
Yeah.
And that was the interesting thing that we were talking about it as well. That, you know, in Team Unity, they all kind of just cried. And no one, I know it's, it's good to have emotion and humility for everyone, but at the end of the day, like, you're in a competition, like, kind of back yourself up a little bit. What did you think about that?
I understand from both perspectives.
Yeah.
Okay, because on my season, we had a crier.
He was a crier in your season. Everyone, there's always every season. There's always a crier. Who's a crier?
We had Natalia, and she would get up and cry because every time she thought she would, you know, be kicked off, and so she would get saved every time because she cried. And so, yeah, I don't validate that, and you can't do that in real life. you know? No. You need to, like, give reasons and be strong and, like, absolutely, take that responsibility. And so I don't like that. But at the same time, it's like you said, the humility part I did like. Because normally when you get up in these teams, everybody's throwing each other under the bus. Everybody's blaming everybody else. And this team actually worked well together.
Yeah, yeah.
And valued each other and, you know, kind of took responsibility upon themselves. You know, Natalia said, well, I made a crappy look, so I should go. And Roberry, you know, was kind of the first one. And they were looking out for each other. So I also respect that, you know.
I do, but I mostly respect...
The crying maybe was too much, okay?
Do you know what was funny? Cornelius just... I'm gonna be really good. Fucking piss me off. Like, he's been, like, this whole time, like, blah, 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 I'm a diva. And then, like, blah,
yeah, blah, blah, yeah. Blah, blah. So I'm like, who are you now? I don't know, but...
He's just young.
Yeah. Yeah, I could have done without the crying and the dramatic, you know, but I like that people were taking responsibility for their own actions.
I would, you know, I thought it was, especially of Alex, it was very brave. One thing that did annoy me going back, we spoke about it before, is he did say, I don't understand. Like, ours was so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Again, looking at it from an outside perspective.
Right.
But I liked Mojing, how he said, like, I just have to be really honest and really real here. I love all you guys, but, you know, Alex, you know, you took this team, you know, you took control of this team.
Yeah.
And if we failed, if you take control, it is a risk. So you should go. And then Alex said, I agree with you.
I agree too. I think, like, in the, you know, like, Natalia, she knew she had a bad look.
Yeah.
So for her to take responsibility for that was fine. And so was Alex, because he had a bad look and he was leading the team. Everybody else.
Cornelius just, like, to me, I was just like, grow up.
But he was the fourth or fifth one to take responsibility, right? So at that point, he's standing in line saying, if I say somebody else, then I'm going to look like the bad guy.
The bad guy. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean... I don't know, but I think, you know, Alex, I knew right away when he was like, I'm taking responsibility for this, that they were going to send him home.
Yeah.
And I hate that, but I think, like, if you're going to get kicked off the show, that's, like, the most...
Noble way.
Yeah, definitely. You have respect for yourself, for everybody else, and, you know, you're not necessarily getting kicked off for your look that, you know,
yeah,
sucked. But I think it's the best possible way, and you could go home and feel good about it.
Totally. And you know, and afterwards we obviously saw, you know, Tim come up to him and say, you know, we saw the story about, you know, as we said in season 5, he went back and learned a lot, and then Tim said...
Because of Tim, yeah.
Yeah, and you'll still be in my life, and that's why I said fashion startup.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I hope so.
Yeah, yeah. And then we obviously saw, you know, with the winning team, House of Bhutan, we saw Dexter win. Did you really like that, or...?
I definitely did, yeah. And I saw that coming, too, just because I feel like he stepped up. And you always have to have a leader in the group, even if you have a group of type A's, because you have to have someone... you know, giving direction, or you have too many cooks in the kitchen, like they said. And so he really took responsibility, and I feel like he motivated people, though. He wasn't just barking orders or anything like that. He was, you know, supporting everyone and inspiring everyone, and also keeping everything under wraps and making sure it was cohesive. And so, yeah, I think he definitely deserved to win.
I agree. And one thing when I know starting off, because you know, they're all such amazing design and creatives, you forget to hone it in sometimes because you think of all these stuff.
Yeah.
And he said, wait, who is our woman? Who is our girl? Like, no one's thinking about our woman.
Yeah.
Like, who is she? Like, who are we selling to? And then, like, he reeled it in all together.
Yeah, he's bringing it to, you know, all these things to the forefront of everybody's attention. Plus, when he's in the workroom, he's running around helping everyone with their looks. And everyone's like, wow, he's, you know, handling the stress so well. He's, like, you know, focusing on the job that needs to be done instead of freaking out.
Yeah.
And keeping everyone else calm at the same time. So I think he deserved it 100%. And I can't wait to see what he wins. And they say, well, it's a surprise, you get to be in Marie Claire. So I can't wait to see what they put in there. I hope they put his designs in there.
Yeah, I agree. One thing, though, I did want to give him a hug, but, like, too many tears. I know it's an emotional show.
I know it is. It is hard, but, like, I didn't cry on camera. But I have a thick skin, so...
See, I'm Australian, so I'm, you know, come from that type of British type way, where I'm, like, you know, kind of... like, you wouldn't, you know, you put on a bit of a front. Yeah, Americans are easy to make cry.
More so, probably.
But I'm excited for next time, because we saw there were a lot of cocktail, so I'm hoping cocktail party for next time. And we saw, I can never say her last name, Emily Raja, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know, I can't either.
The girl from Blurred Lines, she'll be a judge, and she always looks stunning, so I'm excited to see that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle. I've had so much fun hosting today with
me
you.
Me too.
So tell everyone where they can find you one more time as well. Your sale. Remind everyone of that.
All right. You can go to michelleubres.com. I have lots for sale there. And then you can check me out on Facebook. Just look up Michelle Uberest. And I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Uberest. Ooh. Sales through Monday.
Through Monday. Yeah, so going now while you can still get the sale. Yep. And yeah, as I said, I hope next week is cocktail dress week. Yeah. Because I love a cocktail dress.
Yeah.
So you can find me on the tweet at DanBabic with an underscore. Find me on Instagram at DanBabic. It's been a killer show. And we're going to get some designers in and some more stylists coming up as the season progresses. So we're definitely excited for that. So until next time, I guess we'll both buzz you later. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye. See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.